Of course, many of you know that we went to New York last week. We did a mission trip with the youth. And I actually wanted Rhonda, if you would come on up here, could you give her the mic, please? And she's just going to tell you, she was walking and praying while we were there, and she had a vision of what the weekend was going to be like. And so I wanted her to share that real quick.
Is that someone? Okay. I was walking and praying, and I'd been praying for the youth because Pastor Dave had stopped me at the door and reminded me to intercede for him. So I'd really been interceding while I went on this prayer walk, and the Lord reminded me to go ahead and pray for them. So as I started praying for them, I had a vision. And a lot of times the Lord will give me like a picture or a vision, and then he'll bring a word or a small message with it, and that's exactly what happened. So I had this picture of them tightly together, praying in a circle, and as they were praying, just the unity, which God talks a lot about unity, the power and the strength and unity. So this unity brings oneness with God, and so it's really awesome. And so they were doing that, and then they changed to flames, and I had a picture. I went online and looked at the closest thing I could find to what I saw.
Wow.
So it was like a bonfire, and then a wind came, and I instantly knew like it was the breath of the Holy Spirit had blew up on them. As that blew, these sparks started coming off of it. And so the Lord started telling me these sparks ignite fires in other people. And so he was saying, you know, as you come together, that unity brings the flame, and then the sparks send out. And so anyway, so I continued to pray, and then the next picture. What God was kind of saying to me is this is what it looks like. Is it starts out like a small spark, but then it grows and grows, and that these youth don't even understand how many lives that they are touching and moving and changing.
And so, yeah. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
So, yeah. And I just feel moved to say that, you know, right now is the time to encourage the youth. But this really pertains to all of us, you know, all ages. And that we can sometimes, in God's eyes, we can become like a smoldering wick. We can just be smoldering and not getting much done. But he's saying, blaze for me.
Amen.
No matter what your age, blaze for him. And this is what happens. It grows and grows and grows.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Amen. So I got a letter from the pastor. So this is for the whole team, and you know, obviously for the church. I just got it the other day. To Pastor Rob and the All-In Youth Ministry team, with heartfelt thanks and appreciation, we're so grateful for your ministry to this church and folks. We had an awesome time in worship, testimonies, and preaching of the word. We appreciate everyone who did anything during our encounter weekend. The afterglow of his spirit is felt in this place. It is our prayer that God would continue to do what he started here through you and your team. What a great bunch of kids and youth who are on fire for the Lord. May God continue to bless the ministry at Harvest Church and the ministry of All In Youth Ministries. Amen. So be it. Find and close a check that is taken of our appreciation to all of you. May his presence and blessing rest upon all of you. And so they sewed a check in, which is going to help more of our youth go to Holy Spirit Weekend. Praise God. That's where that money is going. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give it up to the youth pastors, Pastor Dave and Jet, to kind of tell you a little bit about the weekend, okay?
Awesome. I'm Pastor Dave, and this is Pastor Jet. Together we make one full youth pastor. We're going to hear a testimony from some of the kids in just a minute, but I just wanted to share something. And Rhonda, that vision was so incredible because I don't know if you know this, but when we first got here in 2016, we were praying, asking the Lord what the name of the youth ministry would be. And Jet got something, I got something, and Pastor got something, and it all kind of was, you know, different things. But the one thing that I remember in my head was that I saw a young person grabbing a lighted arrow and shooting it across the pond, and it hit Africa and the different states, and it began to burn the entire map. That's incredible. Wow. Kesson and Mel are going to come up and share. They're from Calvary. They came in and joined with us on this awesome mission trip. And if you guys want to come up here, but I just want to share a little bit of something about these two and just about the idea that two churches can come together to minister the gospel. And the truth of the matter is that, like, it was so exciting for us going on a missions trip and watching the fruits of discipleship come to life. Like, I know Pastor Dylan would be so incredibly proud of both of you guys. Just the idea that, you know, you went out and you began to minister to people, the overflow of your heart. And you got to see it take place where they began to, you know, preach, and they began to pray, and they began to worship, and people's eyes would come alight with fire. So I just want to give them some time, just kind of share a little bit of their testimony, and I'll hand it over to you guys.
Do you want me to tell the lawnmower story or not so much? Tell that? Okay. So I would just like to preface this. We were in the airport at 11 o'clock on Sunday night, and I was talking to this lady I'd never met before, and Pastor Rob interrupts the conversation I have with her to tell her this story completely out of the blue. But anyways, we were in the van, and I was in the back of the van, and then Pastor Rob's in the front of the van, and we're driving home, and it's like it was a snowstorm the day before or something like that. It was very, very snowy outside. And I saw this cute little old man driving this little lawnmower looking thing like up his driveway, and it was getting rid of the snow. And so I was like, wow, Pastor Rob, look, it's a snow lawnmower. Like, I had no idea that those were a thing. And then the whole van cracked up laughing because apparently everybody knows that that's a snowblower, and I didn't know that. So we were in the airport at 11 o'clock, and I was making friends with this nice lady. And Pastor Rob's like, guess what she said? She said a snow lawnmower. So anyways, this trip was awesome, and we were so thankful to go. There were so many wonderful people to meet. I mean, we got to pray over waitresses. I mean, like, it was just awesome all around. It was a beautiful experience, and that is honestly one of my favorite experiences. I got to pray over a waitress, and I was praying over her, and I got this word, and it seemed like one of those super vague words, but as soon as I said it, it meant so much to her. And she was telling me a little bit about what was going on in her life recently and how she needed to hear from the Lord, that the Lord was with her, and that the Lord had peace provided for her, and that there were things going on in her world that she couldn't control, but the Lord could control them. And so that was awesome to be in that moment, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and just allowed us to share with her, and that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was awesome. I also didn't know what a snowblower looked like, and I had to have him explain what, like, a snowmobile was. I'm like, how does it work? So yeah, we're very Floridian. But one thing I really wanted to emphasize about this trip is, like Pastor Rob was saying, just the unity, and that, like, there's this closeness between the two youth groups that I think even, like, one church doesn't really have between its members. And I remember when we first started doing things with Harvest, when it was Reflections, you know, we would go to camps and stuff, and we were kind of slowly merging these two groups. And, you know, of course, when you have two groups of teenagers who don't know each other, it can be kind of like, oh, I'm scared of these people, and I already have my, like, clique and everything. But then over the past few years, God's really, like, intertwined us. And now I realized on this trip it was so cool, and I got to kind of share a little bit with some people about, like, I was so comfortable. Like, we would go and we'd be ministering, or we'd just be hanging out, and it was like these were actually your family members. It was like you were actually friends with these people. And so I just wanted to, like, thank Harvest for being so welcoming, and thank the Lord for really just bringing two youth groups and two churches together. And so honestly, you can't afford to not have unity when you go and minister. So God really showed up, and I think honestly that's where a lot of, you know, God was able to move because of that. There wasn't any resentment or anything. It was like one church going. And there were so many divine appointments and so many people who just got, like, wrecked, and everywhere we went, I think we got something. And it was a really amazing trip. And I was expecting it to be really good, but I came back and I was like, this was better than I thought. So thank you for everybody who sewed into it. God, obviously, he showed up. Yes, it rocked. Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, praise. Praise God. We're going to do a couple more testimonies. We've also got a video for you guys, but I just wanted to share really briefly. I'm going to jump on what Dave said and actually even add that, Rhonda, you are spot on with what the Lord gave you, because even on top of what he said, that image of the falling sparks and the bonfire, we're even having a bonfire this Friday for Third Friday, ironically, but that image has been a recurring theme during our prayer times, the image of the falling sparks, so you're right on with that. Before I introduce the next couple of kids who are going to share, I just want to share the thing that encouraged me the most about this trip. Pastor Dave and I have done missions, not quite as much as Pastor Rob, but we have done missions, been to Mexico, been to Africa once, and the majority of our missions were in the United States working with immigrants and refugees in Denver. And this trip was so wonderfully unique because so often on mission trips, especially with youth, let's just face it, people sometimes go for the wrong reasons. And you see a lot of missions trip where people go because, especially people want kids to go, because they want them to have an experience, they want them to be transformed and have a deeper experience with the Lord. And what happens is you have teams go out, they paint the same wall, they go in, there's a lot of excitement, but there's no lasting change either in the kids or in the church. And I tell you, one of the most blessed things for me and Pastor Dave was watching the fruit of discipleship, of long-term discipleship in these kids, both our kids from Harvest and from AIM Youth who've been Level Up, or they've been under AIM Youth Ministry for a while, the kids who've been discipled under Pastor Dylan at Calvary, watching them go and seeing how they acted when they didn't have to be ministering. When they had free time, the difference was so dramatic. They were not sinking into their phones. They were playing together. They were playing hide and seek. One night they all huddled around Pastor Rob. We were in this huge kind of historic house that we got a blessed favor on the price for it. And the kids loved it. And they all huddled around Pastor Rob in the parlor. And they're playing worship songs. They have the choice to disappear into a corner of the house and not talk to anybody and sink into Facebook. And they didn't. They hung out with Pastor Rob for hours, just singing and praising. We would catch them singing and worshiping when no one was watching. You're going to hear some testimonies both here and in second service of kids who would look for people to pray for when we weren't doing service. And they would just do that of their own unction. There were kids ministering. A couple of the girls were ministering on the plane and in the airports. There were kids ministering to people on the streets. They just did this out of the overflow of their hearts. And they went in with the right attitude. They didn't go in like, okay, we're so great and we're so spirit-filled, we're going to go fix this dead church. And it's like, no, that's not the attitude you go. Like, we're not the saviors. Jesus is the savior. We go in carrying something to bolster our brothers and sisters, to encourage them in the work that's already being done so the Lord can continue the work. And they went in with that attitude. There was one time I canceled worship practice because they had already started worshiping and they were freestyling, harp and bowl worshiping, and I'm like, we already know the songs. I'm not going to stop this. I just looked at Pastor Rob. I'm like, we're good. We're not going to turn this off. We're just going to let them keep going until we hit a moment where we can, you know, kind of flow into the actual service. But that was the greatest blessing for me about this trip. I want to invite Ryan and Jacob up. Ryan and Jacob Thomas. Where is Jacob? I see Ryan. Jacob's right here. You were hiding behind Patrick. And Dave, do you kind of want to intro Ryan and Jacob?
Absolutely. I'm going to stand in between the two of them because they're like my bodyguards because I'm small and they're tall. But I'm so incredibly proud of both of these young men. They did an amazing job on this missions trip. But I kind of want to intro a little bit with Ryan because he's a bit more soft-spoken. But he has got a mighty heart for the Lord. It's John 3:16 backed with white-hot prayer. One of the first nights that we were there, he was working tech in the back. And, you know, we had an amazing service. You'll hear a testimony of a young woman that got filled with the Spirit and kind of like went out in the Spirit, and she kind of splashed everybody around her. You'll hear more about that later. But Ryan came up to me afterwards, and we had this deep conversation. He was deeply disturbed. We were at like Walmart at 11 o'clock at night. And he looks at me. He's like, Pastor Dave. It's like, And I'm like, I can clearly see there's something wrong. I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, I didn't get to pray for anybody. He's like, I want to pray for someone. It's like, I know I like doing sound. I like doing tech, but like, I want to be down there praying for someone. We had this conversation. It's like, you know what, brother? God's absolutely going to do something like that through you. And we began to pray right then and there in the middle of Walmart. And we just asked the Lord, it's like, Lord, please open up doors for Ryan to pray for someone. Give him an opportunity so that he could, you know, lay hands on someone. And it's very interesting because the very next day in the middle of downtown Oneonta, that door opened up.
Hello. So basically, we went to this thing called the Baseball Hall of Fame. After that, we went to downtown. We went to this coffee shop. It's kind of weird because this guy named John, he like kept following us like the whole way there. Like, he asked for some money. I gave him some money, and he just sat there across the street from the coffee shop. And so all the youth group went in the coffee shop, got something to drink, and I just felt in my heart to go like pray for him. So I went to go pray for him, and Jacob followed me along. And he basically told me and Jacob how he's about to hit a low point in his life. So me and Jacob were like, let's just pray for you. And, you know, after we prayed and ministered to him, he basically, like, told us how he felt this warmth in, like, his spirit. Yeah. And we just told him that was the Holy Spirit filling him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, the guy followed us all the way there. And and it was... It was unique because the Lord was, you could tell the Lord was working in all this because he stops and he's like leaning on this mail thing or whatever. And he could have left at any moment, but he was still there. And I never got to ask him why he stayed there, but he stayed there right outside the coffee shop. And, you know, we went over there, we prayed with him. You could tell there was a difference in him, his countenance changed. And then we went back in, we looked, Ryan, you looked back and he was gone. So it's like, just like that. And we were able to minister to someone. Yeah. Which that was amazing ministering with you, Ryan. Something that really hit my heart and just ministering to people was we were worshiping Sunday, and while we were worshiping, we were singing the song "When You Walk Into the Room" by Brian and Katie Torwalt. And the Lord just spoke to me and gave me a vision, and the vision was there was this person in a prison cell, and they were shackled up, and they looked kind of dirty, and you could just tell they were in a rough situation. And next thing you know, the prison cell door just flings wide open, and then in comes Jesus, and he's like glowing from head to toe. And the best part about him was that he was smiling from ear to ear. And he just walks in, and as soon as he walks in, the shackles and even the countenance of the person, just how they look, it all just changes. The shackles fall off, the person stands up, Jesus puts his arm around him, and he walks him out the door. And I got this vision, and I'll be honest with you, I was kind of doubting it at first. I was like, what if this is just my mind? And I was just getting in my own head. And then next thing you know, Pastor Rob looks at us when we sit down after that, and he's like, hey, you and Kester are going to share. And I was like, wow, this is like the Lord confirming it, because I didn't know I was going to share. And God, he's like, share whatever's on your heart. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I was like, praise you, God. So I go up and I share the whole vision and everything like that. I sit down. Rest of the service happens. We worship a little bit. And then at the end, Pastor Rob calls us youth up to go and to pray for people if anybody wants to come up and, you know, if they need prayer. So I'm sitting there, and this lady comes up, and she's just bawling, crying. And I'm like, oh, no. Okay. Got to get my heart right. I got to pray for her. But she comes up to me, and she's like, you don't know what you did. And I was like, okay. She's like, you don't even understand what you did for me. And I was like, how can I pray for you? And she's like, she just said she's going through spiritual warfare right now. And I was like, okay. So I prayed for her in the spirit. I was praying over her heart. She left. Service ends. After the service, she comes up to me, and she's still crying. And she's like, my husband, he's into Wicca, and he's into all the witchcraft and all that stuff. And it's just been so much spiritual warfare in my house. She said that even she would at night, she would come in, she would lay down in the bed next to her husband, and instantly she would get these nightmares when she fell asleep. She would, and her kids would get nightmares, and they were like a few rooms over. And the demonic oppression was so heavy in her household, and it was just driving her to her wit's end. And she said the word that I spoke over her, it was just, that vision really helped her out. And it just helped free her and realize that these shackles, this oppression that's on her, is going to be loose, because when Jesus walks in, everything's loosed, everything's taken care of, there's freedom. But just being able to minister to that and just seeing her life change. And the one profound thing I wanted to share too was at the end of the service on Sunday, and even Friday and Saturday after the services, we would go to the fellowship hall and we would eat. And I remember standing back, and I remember looking out at all the people in the fellowship hall, and just looking out at just all the people in general in the assembly. And I could just see this joy. And there was this spirit about them. I could see that Jesus Christ changed the atmosphere. And we brought that atmosphere. We were the thermostat. We were the thermostat. We set that temperature. We brought the Spirit of God with us and just changed everything. So it was just, praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Really awesome. Praise God. So thanks again for sending us. Can you give these young people one more round of applause? Okay, hallelujah. I have a quick word for you. I did want to preach today because I really had something on my spirit, and so I want to make sure that you guys are able to get this. Let's just pray. Father, we ask, Father, you would cage the time and help us to receive what you have to say to us today, Lord God. Help us prepare our hearts to receive, Father, and I pray your grace and your anointing and your spirit in this room to speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I heard a great man of God say this. Basically, this is the gist of it. I can't remember exactly word for word, but this is basically what he said. Many people would rather not entertain, and they actually resist thinking about eternity because they have very little invested there. I'm going to say that again. Many people would rather not entertain and actually resist thinking about eternity because they have very little invested there. Their entire investment, if you will, has been in this life. Yeah. And so when sometimes you try to talk to people about heaven, or you want to talk to people about Jesus or spiritual things, even church people sometimes, they steer the conversation back towards something that is natural, something that's in the world that they're living in, something going on with their family, something that they're doing here. And the reason for that is because there's not a lot that they have invested in the next life. Does that make sense to you? So we tend as human beings to sometimes just sometimes choose to just not think about something. That's why people develop addictions sometimes. They start to drink, smoke pot, other things. You know, I heard a great man of God, one of my mentors, he said, you know, the reason why so many people, and he said people, not just men, but even women, get into like pornography, he goes, it's not just like a spirit of lust and all that, it's that people are looking to escape. And what happens, it offers them an alternative reality that they can escape into, into this fantasy world, and what it does is it shuts their mind off. Are y'all with me? Same thing with alcohol. You know, why do people do that? It's because they want to go somewhere else with their mind, their emotions. They want to be in a different place than in dealing with the reality. Same thing with getting high. And as ridiculous as it is, we have adults that have decided, let's legalize marijuana so all our kids can get high and not ever really think about life. You with me? And but many church people, many Christian people, they have very little investment in the life to come. Their entire investment is in the life now. You stop and think about, you know, the obvious ways that we invest either in the life to come or in the life that we're living in now. You know, obviously time, resources, you know, energy, you know, your emotions, your heart, your relationships. Are they eternally focused, or are they only earthly focused? Because God says this, you probably have heard this scripture, or he has set eternity in our hearts. How many of you ever heard that scripture, right? He has set eternity in our hearts. You know what that means? There is a place in every human being, even if they declare, oh, I'm atheist or this and that, that they understand that they will live forever. See, when God created you in his image, you're actually a spirit. Everyone say, I'm a spirit. So here's what the scriptures teach. You actually are a spirit. You live in a body. The scriptures sometimes call it your tent. Okay? This is your tent. This is not who you are. Who you really are is on the inside. So you are a spirit that lives in a body, and you have a soul realm, a mind, a will, and emotions. Your spirit will live forever somewhere. You never, ever, 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 ever will cease to exist, but you will go on and on and on for eternity somewhere. So logically, it doesn't make any sense to not invest in eternity. Yet the majority of people, even Christian people, steer often the conversation, their thoughts, their energies, their provisions, their gifts, their talents towards only sowing into the natural realm because often they have very little invested in the life to come. And if you have, if you don't have anything invested in the life to come, then it's difficult for you to want to think about it, because for you it's not a it's something that you're thinking, you're looking forward to, because you have an investment there. Instead, your entire investment is here. So if your entire investment is here, this is where your entire focus goes. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You know, I find myself praying more and more, Lord, please use my years, use my time to invest in eternity, to invest in a life that goes beyond this life. You know what the Bible says? It teaches that everything that you see is passing away. But the things that you can't see are the things that will last forever. And we have an opportunity here in this real small vapor sliver of time to sow into the life that will come, into eternity. If we had more invested in eternity, then our mind, our will, our emotions, our time, our resources, our energies goes more towards eternity, because we actually feel like we have something to look forward to. That there's a confidence that Jesus will look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Simple things like, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. Very practical stuff. Are you hearing me? We get so caught up in the life here and trying to carve out, you know what's amazing to me? People spend so much time their whole life planning for a 15-year retirement and never sow into eternity. Does that make any sense to you at all? I mean, I'm asking you, does that make any sense at all, that you would only sow for a retirement, that you could be happy in those golden years and not really think about sowing into eternity? I just want to hit you with some scriptures, okay? James 4, 13, 14 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. They're just talking about doing business, right? Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And then Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16 says this, as for man, which you are, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. When I was in New York, and so many of us were enjoying the trip and all the rest, of course, it was, my hometown, so there's a lot of memories there. And we were driving through downtown, and we went past the fire department where my father used to work, and then I was driving up the road to head down over the railroad tracks, and I looked to my right, and there was a tattoo parlor. I'm not going to preach on tattoos, so don't get nervous. But there was a tattoo parlor, tattoos and piercing and all the rest. And it was in this this building, part of the downtown area, where years ago there was a barber that was there. And when I was a kid and when I was in college, I remember I lived around the corner. So I would go around the corner and get cheap haircuts from this guy. And he had known my grandparents way back when. And so sometimes he would tell stories about, my grandfather when he was young and this and that. And then, he's long since died, and he's long since gone and buried and all the rest. I don't know exactly when he died, but I know he's been dead a long time, because I mentioned his name to my dad one time. My dad said, oh, he's been dead a long time. So he's dead, and he's buried, and the barber shop has turned into a tattoo parlor, and I think it might have been something in between. And life goes on without you. Are you with me? And I thought about this scripture, how man is like a flower. Like, there's this time when you flourish, and you're like, man, I got it going on. I'm so successful. Everything's going so well. But then, boom, the wind passes, and it blows all the petals off, and then you are no more, and then life goes on without you, and somewhere you exist forever. Yeah. And you have a little window of time to invest in eternity. The world calls it carpe diem. Seize the day. And that's what that means. It's a Latin term for seize the day, made famous by, I don't know if you guys remember this movie from quite a while ago, but Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. And that was his whole theme, was seize the day, because you're not going to live forever. He opens up on the first day of school, and he takes all these kids, and he goes, follow me. I want to take you outside and show you something. And he goes out in the hallway, and they're in this private school, and there was this picture of all these pictures of young boys in classes that had gone before in the school, you know, from 80, 90, 100, 120 years ago. And they had all these young guys that were young and good-looking and strong. You know, I look at my oldest son, Caleb, man, he pumps the weights, you know, and you know, he looks so good, you know, his skin is so perfect. He's got muscles everywhere, and he's showing me, Dad, look at my arms, and I look at him, and I go, I used to look just like that, but not anymore. And that's how these young guys look in these pictures. They were just filled with this confidence. You know what I mean? They're going to tackle the world. And the teacher said, I want you to take a good look at their faces because they are worm food now. They're all gone. They're all dead. Everything that they were going to be is past now. And now it's your turn, and you got the same look in your eye and all the rest. And he was saying, they're saying to you, carpe diem, seize the day. And he hit them with some poems, and you know I love poems because I was a literature teacher for 15 years. A very famous poem by Robert Herrick to the virgins to make much of time. Gather ye rosebuds while you may. Old time is still a-flying, and the same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. The glorious lamp of heaven, the sun, the higher he's a-getting, the sooner will his race be run, and nearer he's to setting. That age is best, which is the first, when youth and blood are warmer, but being spent the worse and worse, time still succeed the former. Then be not coy, but use your time, and while you may go merry, for having lost but once your prime, you may forever tarry. And it's saying, hey, make the most of the life here that you can, because this is all there is. This is all you get. He's dead, by the way. He's been dead a long time, the poet. Robert Frost, very famous poem, nothing gold can stay. Nature's first green is gold. Her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf a flower, which is beautiful, but only so an hour. You know what that means? Out of 1/24th of your day, there's a small part when you're young and vibrant and beautiful and all the rest. Then leaf subsides to leaf, just like in the beginning. So Eden sank to grief. There was paradise, but for a very short time. So dawn, which is just this beautiful, precious, quick moment, goes down to day, and nothing gold can stay. Robert Frost. He's dead too. And for those of you, I did this one especially for you, Jerry, Frank Zappa. Yeah. Just consider this, he said. You can be scared when it gets too real, but you should be digging it while it's happening. Yes, you should be digging it while it's happening, because it just might be a one-shot deal. Died at 52 of prostate cancer. Huh. He has set eternity in our hearts. And when I heard this preacher say this, that many people do not want to think about or entertain the idea of eternity because they have very little invested there, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. The church needs to hear that message, because how true that is. Because you know what happens? You get in a rut and you just do the same thing over and over and over and again, and then all of a sudden you come to the end of your life, and all the things that you're going to do for Christ are now, there's no opportunity for you to do them anymore. The moment has passed. It's uncomfortable for some people. Some people, they hate this type of preaching because they just want to live their happy little life that they've set aside. The problem is the time is coming closer and closer and closer and closer before you die and you stand before Jesus. And everything that you do for all of eternity will be based on the sliver of time that you had here and how you sowed into the world to come. And you know what? It's my job and my task to remind people of that. So much preaching is geared around trying to make people happy here. Yeah. How can you be happy, and how can you live a life that, you know, your best life now? You understand? It's all about you, and it's all about you being happy, and it's all about the life that you can carve out and how happy you are and all the things you can do for yourself. And what happens is that becomes a very popular message, and you can fill a place up with people that want to hear that. The problem is that, you know, both the preacher and the person will stand before Jesus and give account for the time that they were given on this life. How many of you were ever in a service and the Spirit of God moved on you and you were during worship or something, and like good intentions started to rise up in your heart. They may have been something as simple as, you know, bake a pie or buy a pie and go across the street and introduce yourself to the neighbors and just say, is there anything that I can pray for you about? Just something simple like that. And like during worship, you thought that. Like something simple came up to you when you were in the presence of God. Just this little simple thing. I'm going to do something nice. You know, I know that my neighbor's struggling. I know my cousin is struggling and we've got a little money in the bank and I know that we can help them. Or, you know, you with me? Something good to do with your life or to say, a way to love and express yourself started to rise up in your heart. I'm going to tell my mom I'm sorry. I'm going to give back the thing that, you know, I took that I should. You with me? I'm going to say I'm sorry. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive this. I'm going to call them today and let them know that they are forgiven. I'm going to, the next time I go into Publix and I see the person that the Lord highlights to me, I'm going to pay for all their groceries. I'm going to, you know, follow out the old lady from the store that's struggling and carry all her stuff and open the door for her and ask if there's anything I could pray for about. This is the type of stuff that starts to come good. The Lord starts to speak to you during this time of worship. And you know what so many of us do? The moment that we walk out the door, we just abandon the whole plan. Are you with me? Now listen to me. If you are obedient to the thing that God tells you to do, the simple thing, you know what else he does? He gives you more assignments. And some people, they have worldwide vision. I'm called, I'm appointed, I'm anointed, I'm prophetically gifted, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to have this worldwide vision, but they can't pass out a cold drink to a 15-year-old kid on a Sunday morning or a Friday night. You understand what I'm saying? And that's where it begins. And you ask somebody, can you help? And they're like, no, let me pray about it. Let me pray and see if God wants me to help, you know, do something nice for somebody. You understand? And then the Lord speaks to us individually during these times of worship. And what they are, oh gosh, please, this is so hard sometimes. Please hear and don't miss your moment. When the Lord speaks to us, they are entry points and opportunities to sow seeds into eternity. So that you actually have a harvest there. And so many times the Lord will tap on you, and what happens is if people just keep saying no, here's what he does. He talks to somebody else. You got to take a step of faith. Yesterday, you know, I was finishing up a landscaping job, and the owners were there, and because I got a little landscaping thing on the side, and the owners were there, and we were finishing all up. It was a pretty big job, and I was just about to leave, and I felt like the Lord said to me, pray over them, pray over the house. So I said that I was shaking the hand of the gentleman goodbye. So I said, hey, can I just pray over you, your family, and the house? And he was like, yes. So he looked at me and I just started to say, Lord, we thank you so much for the provision of this beautiful house, this beautiful place, and pray that your blessing of peace, of love, of kindness, and joy in this family would come for many, many years in this house in Jesus' name. Just very simple like that, right? I open my eyes, I look at the guy, he's got tears. And you understand? You think it's like what Kessa was saying. She was just saying something simple over the waitress, but it was exactly what the waitress needed to hear right at that moment. And what happens is the Lord lays these things on our heart to do something kind, and we ignore those things, not realizing that that's not the devil, that's the voice of the Lord that's trying to get your attention. And if you will listen, he'll say more to you. What does he say? He goes, the measure that you give to what I say will be the measure to how much I speak to you more in the future. It's why in our prayer meetings, that which has been spoken or prophesied or preached is stewarded so well in prayer. I don't mean to embarrass her, but Pastor Angela, she's taking notes right now. She takes notes of everything that's ever spoken in this house, goes home and for hours labors over it in prayer and reproduces it to come back in a prayer meeting so the church would steward over that which is God, what God has said, and pray over what he said so that he will speak more to us and give us another opportunity to hear what he has to say so that we may sow into eternity, because that's where we're going to spend our forever. How many of us, the Lord has spoken to us at times, and in the moment it meant so much to us, but we've just completely abandoned it. Most people don't want to talk about, think about eternity because they have zero investment in eternity. Yes, they walked an altar and they're born again, but for them, that's where it stopped. I know that I'm saved. I have fire insurance. Do you understand what a ridiculous, callous attitude that is? I can't stand when people talk to me like that. It's like, you know, your existence is more than just that Jesus came and died so that you could go to heaven, but you're supposed to actually take an investment, make an investment in heaven by bringing other people with you, and it starts with being obedient to the small acts of kindness that the Lord lays on your heart to do. Don't ever doubt in the dark what God spoke to you in the light. So when you're in an atmosphere, a spirit-filled church, and this place has been bathed over in prayer and worship is going on, and all of a sudden something comes rising up in your heart that you know will bless other people, that's the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you in that time. And how you steward over and how you complete what he told you to do opens up the door, are you with me, to making investments in eternity. And if you were obedient during those times, you'd be surprised at how much more he'll say to you. You know, you have all these kids, so some of you are homeschooled, many of you are homeschooled, but some of the kids go to school. And, you know, I used to tell the kids in school, because they were shocked at this, but I would tell the kids, you know, that how you act and how you treat your teachers and the way you interact with them, it affects them. It affects their marriage. It affects their kids. It affects their whole life, because they want to be successful and they want to make a difference and they're trying to do the best they can. And your attitude towards them is something that they go home and they carry home to their wife, or they carry home to their husband, or they carry home to their kids. And I would tell the kids in school, you have an opportunity when someone else is mistreating you, or they're having a bad day, or the teacher didn't get everything right, to walk in love, to be kind, and make a difference in somebody else's life. And I remember, and so I just tell the kids, I was like, because I want you to know that teachers are actually people too. Because they just saw them as, you know, oh, they're just teachers. And it's like, you need to see them as human beings. The same way the kids would come into school and I would tell the kids, you know what, act like an adult. I'll treat you like an adult. I was respectful and I treated them like human beings and I saw them. I told Dave and Jet when they first came here, they were spending a lot of time, you know, they're very creative people, so they were creating all these big things all week. And I said, you don't need to do that. Just go out and get a hamburger with them, because if you tell them that if you spend 5 minutes with them, if you spend a half hour with them, what you're saying to them is, I see you. And to a kid, that means everything. They're just looking for somebody to notice them. But you know what? It's not just kids. It's everybody that lives. It's people that are everywhere all the time. And if we are so busy just doing our own thing and trying to make ourselves happy and building our own kingdom, if we just carry that whole mentality through life that it's all about me and I'm just supposed to me, and I need to be happy and all the rest, what happens is we don't invest in the people that are all around us because we're so busy worrying about ourselves. And have you noticed that no matter how much you try to make yourself happy, that it always seems to be elusive? Are you with me? There always seems to be something else that we need, or somewhere else we need to go. That's why we're always building a bigger roller coaster and a bigger buffet. We're all, you know, are the two fastest growing cities in the country are Vegas and Orlando, because they're the entertainment capitals. You know, the mecca for entertainment, because our heart has been given to entertainment. We just want more, feed us personally, because we're never satisfied. We're grasping at the wind. That's what Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, meaningless. But you know what? You'll find contentment when you take your eyes off yourself and you begin to look at other people through the lens of love that Christ has shed abroad in your heart, and you will find purpose in your life that goes beyond your own personal happiness. And you'll actually feel content, because you'll realize that you're doing what you were built to do. Very few people spend their time thinking about eternity, and they don't want to think about eternity, and they don't want to talk about it because they have very little investment there. Are you hearing me? Listen, you know, this stuff's not always fun, but like when you get with the Lord and the Lord's like, this is what I want you to tell my people. You know, that's what Jeremiah had to do. He was prophesying a whole nation of people and prophets, all of whom rejected him, and yet he had to be faithful to stand in that ministry and tell the people and tell the prophets, this is what God is actually saying. Are you hearing me? Ourselves, how am I spending the years that I've been given? How am I spending my time? Am I sowing into an eternity that is going to come? And you know what happens when you actually begin to cross over and you begin to live for Christ? You find the most exciting life that you could possibly ever imagine. Yes, you have to lay some stuff down because you know what? There's never a really true worship without sacrifice. And sacrifice and offering is more about an aroma than it is about the fire. Because what they would do is they would lay something on the altar and the aroma would go up in the nostrils of the Lord. And you know what? You can never, ever have true worship without sacrifice. So it's going to cost you something. When you're in Publix and the Lord moves on your heart and says, pay for the groceries of this lady behind you, right? You see some family. Here's what you got to do. You pray, Lord, lead me. You go to the right store, Walmart, Publix, Winn-Dixie, wherever you go. You go there. And you're in the car, and you let the Spirit of God come on you, and you recognize, I'm walking in there with the presence of God. And you walk in, and you just look around, and you find out who it is. And as you're going, you check out, and you just say, hey, the Lord told me to bless you guys. Find a family like theirs with 7 kids following them out. You know what I mean? And you'll know, hey, this could be God. You understand what a difference that makes? You know, come on, you see people, you know. And you know, you can't do that. What is it? What is the thing that the Lord is laying on your heart? Because what happens is if you get up every day with that attitude, you'll find that your life is far more exciting than it is if you just live in a selfish way. Who can you bless? What word of encouragement can you give to someone that needs that word? You know, Jesus prophetically, there was a scripture, Isaiah 50, written about him. And it said, the Lord awakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to hear. And I was not disobedient. I did not turn away. He has given me the word of the Lord to sustain the weary. Sometimes your encouragement is just the what somebody needs to not give up. You understand? But what happens is, if we're so focused on ourselves and our life here and building our kingdom, and then what happens is you spend your whole life and you never really recognize that the good works that you're supposed to walk in, they were prepared, listen to me, everywhere that you went. Because you're a son and you're a daughter of God if you've been born again, which means you're a carrier of his presence. And everywhere that you go, there's an opportunity to shift the atmosphere because you walk in there. Amen. You understand? Those are the good works prepared. He says, what are the good works prepared ahead of time for me? Okay, I got to go serve on the, at the soup kitchen. Yeah, it may involve that, but understand this. If you just live your life hooked up to heaven with attention to what he's saying, everywhere that you go, good works will manifest because of the presence that you carry because of whose kid you are. Are you with me? Anybody? Is there anybody understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, let's stand to our feet. I think we said enough. Praise God. I just felt this burden to share this word with us. This is for somebody here. I don't know. Maybe it's for me. Maybe it's for me. Is there anybody here that felt like the Lord was talking to you? Yeah. You're still here. That's the good news. You know, many people, they get sicknesses in their body, and what happens is they want healing from the Lord, but there's no faith to be healed because they want to get healed so they can just go back to doing nothing with their life. But people that are like, I want to be healed so I can blaze for Jesus and use all my time to preach the gospel and take some people with me to heaven and from hell, they find that grace comes in their life because God's like, I want the sickness off of them so I can mobilize them. But it's very hard to have faith to just go back to doing the thing that you were doing that made absolutely zero difference in the kingdom of God. And someone says, well, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. Here's my question for you. Can you pray? There's 3 prayer meetings a week. We've had at least 2 a week since I've been here, almost 5 years. So that's 52 weeks. Let's say 50 because it's an easier number. So there's been over 250 prayer meetings. Can you come in and it's actually more than that, isn't it? I'm doing bad math. Well, how many is it? 250 times 5. How many? About 500 prayer meetings. That's where it starts. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of
prayer
for the
nations.
My house shall be called a house of
prayer
for the
nations.
See, do you know what? People don't like this type of preaching. They just, I don't want this. I just want another sermon. But that Jesus did not say that the house would be called a house of preaching. He said it would be called a house of prayer. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a shift and there's things going on. And those churches that will not hook up to heaven and not pray, when it all hits the fan, are going to be really struggling, because the three steps to a happy life message doesn't work when judgment starts coming on a nation. You need to know God and be hooked up to God. You know, we said it this way, Psalm 91, we just prayed that out on Wednesday night. He who dwells in the secret place, he who's in the secret place dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. But it's he who's in the secret place. It's not just, oh, he was born again. It's he who's in the secret place is protected divinely. Why? Because they're hooked up to what God is doing in the earth, and it brings a divine protection. And we see it demonstrated in the scriptures that when Egypt was being judged, and darkness was falling on the land, the lights never went out in Goshen because they were seeking the Lord and hooked up to heaven. Because there was blood over the doorpost, destruction passed over them. You with me? But it's not just that you're born again. It's actually that you are in the secret place and have a vibrant relationship. Listen, let me say it this way. Everybody look at me. It's that you actually have a prayer life. And you're not having somebody always play the harp for you and pray for you. But you yourself seek God. There's a confidence that comes when everything is breaking apart. When you know that you've heard from God. You understand? If God actually speaks to you in the worst possible situation ever, it doesn't matter what's going on, you just kick your feet up and you are not afraid at all because you know that he's in charge. But if you don't have your own relationship, when trouble comes, you will look for everybody else to come and give you a word about how it's going to be okay. But that'll only get you through a short time. And ultimately, you've got to seek God for yourself. It can't be mommy and daddy's religion. It can't be grandpa's religion. It has to be your own religion. You've got to know him for yourself. There's got to be a confidence that you are seeking him, hearing from him, and investing in eternity in the way that he tells you to do. And it starts with simple, small stuff. So whatever the Lord tells you to do, just a little simple thing, just follow through. You'll feel pretty good about yourself. That's what you want anyway, to be happy, right? You'd be happy knowing that, hey, I just did what I'm built to do. This is what God called me to do. This is why he has blessed me with these gifts, with this provision, and the way that I am. He has built me for such a time as this to be a blessing to other people, that you would be light and salt to every situation that you come into. That your light, the light of the Lord, would light up people's darkness, and the salt on your life would make people thirsty for what you have. That is what the Lord is looking for in the times that we live. We cannot do just church as usual. We cannot just do religion as usual. We cannot just check our box. But we have come into a time where the time is short, and the Lord is looking for sons and daughters that will carry and manifest his presence and bring the word of the Lord to the nations, because they are lost. Amen. Would you come pray this all, Angela, Pastor Angela? Just pray for us all.
I'd like you guys to join me in praying in the Spirit. This is how we find our voice, dear God. So, dear God, let's go louder. Come on. Let's pray in the Spirit. This is how we find our voice, dear God. Give each and every one of us a voice, dear God. Dear God, we are yielding ourselves. We empty ourselves of you, dear God. We just say that we want to hear from you, dear God. And we're not just doing this as an act in this place, dear God. We're going to go and find those closets, dear God, those places of prayer. It might be our car. It might be our kitchen. It might be our closet, dear God. But we're going to just be real here. Because what's more important that happens is between us and you, dear God. So I pray for intimacy, dear God. I pray that we would have the desire to want to know our Maker, dear God. I just pray you would just stir us up, dear God. Just stir us up in the things of you, dear God. The reason why we're speaking in our prayer language is because it's your voice and not ours. I pray our voice, our desires would be quieted, dear God. And I just pray for success. I've personally just been praying, dear God, for success, dear God. Send those people that are so hungry that'll come to Christ right away. Send the people that are hungry, dear God. Send the people that want your Spirit, dear God. And I just rebuke any fear, dear God. And I just pray that you would give us that memory, dear God. Be patient with us, dear God, when you tell us something. I pray you would continue to tell us, continue to tell us. I pray that we would encourage each other, dear God. We just pray, dear Lord, that you would just speak to us. Dear God, speak to us today, even right now. If you've spoken to us today about where to go, I pray we would write it down. We would tell somebody. We'd be people of action, dear God. What we're doing right now here means nothing if we don't go. So we repent of not hearing you. We say we want to list you. We are asking you to heal our land, dear God. We are saying we will turn away from our wicked ways, dear God. And we just pray that you would just awaken something new in us, dear God. Put eternity in our hearts. Awaken that, dear God. I pray that the things we see would no longer be appealing, and help us open our spiritual eyes. Allow us to see eternity, dear God. Allow us to see eternity. Allow us to invest in eternity. Thank you for the salvation you've given us, dear God. Awaken the healing, the restoration that you've given us, dear God. And that is what we share. We're not sharing this dead message that nobody wants. We are sharing the living God that brings healing, that brings restoration, dear God, that will rebuild us, dear God. So just awaken us right now. We shake off all the things of the world. We shake off fear, dear God, and we just go. Send us as a church. Send us out to that harvest. In Jesus' name.